All right, right to work in Michigan. Hot topic. A lot of people have been talking about it. Counties have been weighing in, voting on it, recommending it. And there is talk of right to work, but right at the moment, it's right to work for teachers. On the phone with us now, Paul Kersey with the Mackinac Center of Public Policy. He's the Director of Labor Policy. Good morning, Mr. Kersey. Thanks for being on the phone with us this morning.
Good morning.
How are things in Lansing this morning?
Well, actually, I'm over in Midland.
Oh, you're Midland. All right. Mm-hmm. Are you getting rain over there this morning?
No, but it looks like we're due for some before too long.
All right. Go ahead and set the stage for me and where we are right at the moment with right to work for teachers and what that means. What's the basic meaning behind all this and what would it look like?
Well, right now what we've got is there is a bill that's been introduced. It's Senate Bill 729. And it is designed to apply actually only to the Michigan Education Association and its affiliates. There's language in the bill that basically says that that a public school district cannot have a contract that calls for teachers to be put in a position where they have to either pay union dues and join the union outright, or they don't join the union but they still have to pay an agency fee. That's what right to work is about. It's about whether teachers are forced to pay union dues and agency fees. And what they did, though, is they said that this only applies if the union represents 50,000 people or more in Michigan. So basically, there's exactly one union in the state that A, represents teachers, and B, has 50,000 people in the state that it represents, and that's Michigan Education Association. So this bill is designed to only apply to the one union. It is, you know, the politics here are rather messy. The Michigan Education Association has pursued a recall of State Senator Paul Scott down in southeast, I want to say Genesee County. That part of the state, anyway. And, efforts to sort of put this aside have failed. So the union is pursuing a recall, and the Michigan Republican Party is using this basically to punish Michigan Education Association.
Yeah, and there was also the fairly weak attempt to get the recall on the ballot for the governor, which came up well short, but mm-hmm. what you're saying is that maybe the right to work issue for teachers is more of a payback situation and a political game more than it is for really about right to work for teachers.
Well, at least the way they set it up in this bill, it is. It's hard to interpret this any other way. First of all, right to work is something that would be tremendously valuable for Michigan. If you could do it across the board, it would be a huge boost for Michigan's economy. The right to work states have been gaining jobs for decades. Wages are actually growing faster in right to work states than in non-right to work states. So the sort of the typical standard union talking point that wages will drop, there's little evidence for that actually happening. It would bring in jobs. These would be good paying jobs. It would make the state more attractive to employers. It would do wonders for this economy. That having been said, there's a case to be said, well, let's work with the teachers first, because you've got teachers who are more professionals than anything else. And, you know, it's a very demanding, very intellectually challenging sort of work that they do. And it's not suited for sort of industrial unionism where you can have, you know, one guy is as good as the next as long as he just follows the directions. It doesn't apply with teaching. So there's a case to be said that, look, we should treat teachers like professionals, and that means we need to get away from the industrial unionism model for them. Okay, you can sort of understand that. But going after just the one union over a political squabble is extremely counterproductive, and in the process they actually create an opportunity for MEA to escape. The law, the state and federal constitutions don't allow you to single out MEA by name. You can't just say MEA no more force dues. You can't say that. You have to sort of describe it in a statute so that
You eliminate others and
you
isolate
eliminate others
one.
And,
yeah,
and,
right.
But in the process, now you set up a situation where MEA can say, okay, well, these are the specs. You know, it's sort of like an engineering problem. These are the specs, and if we can get under them, then we're back where we were before. So MEA is going to have an opportunity to play all sorts of games with their structure to at least make it look like they have less than 50,000 people that they represent. They can split off different groups. They can have groups reorganize under some other banner with very friendly people in charge of it, so that the two you have what are formally two groups. There's all sorts of games that can be played here.
Now, when we say right to work, basically what we're saying is, in this instance or any instance, it's basically, I want a job, I can get it, and I shouldn't have to be forced to join a union. In mm-hmm. simplified terms, that's basically what we're talking about, right?
That's basically it, yeah.
Yeah. And now, but if, let's say this bill passes and it becomes law eventually, and there is right to work for teachers, these teachers would also be benefiting, though, from union collective bargaining, correct? They wouldn't somehow be isolated. If you're not part of the union, you still get to benefit from whatever they negotiate?
Yes, but here's the thing. I think it's a little naive to say that workers always benefit from having a union represent
sure.
them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right now, for instance, you've got you've got a lot of governments and a lot of local governments and school districts and companies that are forced to lay off workers. Well, the union work rules and the union contract typically says this is going to be done strictly on the basis of seniority. So if you're a younger worker, you are paying union dues to an organization that is basically making it more likely that you're going to lose your job. So you've got an organization that doesn't necessarily benefit everybody. We're assuming that everybody wins under a union contract. It isn't that simple, and I don't think you can just say that everybody owes the union their dues because everybody's benefiting. It just doesn't work that way.
I don't think I would want to be working in a union shop where I was clearly not part of the union, because I can't imagine that would be a friendly environment.
Well, you know, the majority of workers in right-to-work states do join the union voluntarily. This isn't
right.
about workers not paying. Let's put it this way. This isn't about killing unions. This is about making them accountable to the men and women that they represent.
Yeah.
The unions are still going to have the power to negotiate. They're still going to have the power to organize workers. They're still going to have the ability to win better contracts for people. What we're just saying is, let's have the workers decide whether the union really has earned their support. I think if you have any respect for workers, I think you're not going to hesitate to give them that choice.
As far as this bill's concerned, what's your feeling that it'll actually become law?
It's hard to say right now. The politics is, like I said, very intense. There's a lot of back and forth over this. I would hope that the legislature would look at the language of 729 and simplify it and just make it either an across-the-board right-to-work law, or if they want to focus on teachers, just say teachers. Don't turn this into a vehicle of retribution against MEA. As much as I understand their frustration, that just doesn't work. It creates more problems than it solves. Make it a teacher right to work bill. Apply it across the board. And let's put it this way. Provide some help to Detroit. Detroit has is not MEA affiliated. They're affiliated under the American Federation of Teachers. So you've got a school district that is probably the most dysfunctional in the state, probably in the country.
Yeah.
And this bill does nothing to provide any relief for them. Now, here's something you could do to actually make some inroads among parents with school kids in the city. Is it going to flip the city around all by itself? No, but it's something that you could do to actually gain some credit, gain some credibility, maybe make some inroads in what is really the toughest area in the state. I don't see why you shouldn't bring all the teachers' unions into this. They've all acted recklessly. They've all abused their authority.
Paul Kersey is on the phone with us, Director of Labor Policy from the Mackinac Center of Public Policy, interviewing him on the Vic McCarty Show, WMKT. As far as right to work for everybody in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the Mackinac Center's position that that would be good? I mean, is that a good thing that we should be looking for? What I understand about right to work, I like.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of people, of course, that don't like it for whatever reason. For example, the Economic Policy Institute says they report that right to work would probably not improve Michigan's economy. So What would be the upside of right to work for everybody?
Right to work states have a clear record of having an advantage in job creation that goes back better than 20 years. Just over the last 10 years, your average right to work state has added 3% to payrolls in spite of a recession. Over the same period, the average non-right-to-work state has lost 3% of its jobs. Michigan's had a horrible decade. We actually lost almost one out of seven jobs that we've had in this state.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned before, wages actually are growing faster in right-to-work states. Take-home pay is actually already, per capita disposable income, the money that you get to take home at the end of the day, is actually higher in a lot of right-to-work states than it is in Michigan. More jobs, better pay. And you can take a look at the material we have on this. We have a right to work dashboard. We did a survey going through all these basic economic statistics. You can check it out on our webpage, www.mackinaw.org.
Now, how does that school system end up being represented by a different union other than the MEA?
Well, it's just a matter of the American Federation of Teachers got into Detroit sooner than the Michigan Education Association did, and they got to organize the teachers under their banner instead of MEA. It's just that simple.
Now, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe the number is 20%. That's the drop in union membership in this state across the board, 20% drop in union membership in the last 10 years, since 2000. I believe that's the number I've read before. So that would indicate a couple of things. Perhaps unions are becoming less popular, and perhaps people are just flat out moving out of the state to find work, either or. I don't know which is which.
Well, I think it's fair to say that a lot of workers have lost confidence in the union movement. I think you see that reflected a couple of different ways. The loss of union jobs. Workers are not as enthusiastic about unionization as they've been in the past. And part of it is the union's own tactics. When the unions were calling for the Employment Free Choice Act, the card check bill a few years ago that would have basically eliminated secret ballot elections as a means of certifying a union. What that meant was that the unions went that way because they were losing the votes. They weren't winning the votes that they had been in the past, and they were hoping to avoid this. There's no other way to interpret this.
What's Governor Snyder's basic standing with the unions? I can't believe they're too jazzed about him. There was a push early on to get rid of him, and I think they're at the fore of it. But has he gained any favor, or is he still pretty much reviled by unions?
Well, it's complicated. Rick Snyder is not the stalwart on some of the labor issues that we would have liked to have seen. He's indicated that he would sign a right to work bill if it were to come across his desk, but he's not going to fight for it. So he's not really the dramatic labor reformer that I would say that Michigan would be better off with. That having been said, he has challenged union power in a lot of different ways. He has supported limitations, at least on collective bargaining, in the public sector designed to get benefits for state employees and local government employees more in line with what's in the private sector. He seems to understand that inflated employee benefits cannot be sustained, and that makes for rocky relations with the unions in this state.
Well, and we've seen this going on all across the country, and right here in the state, lawmakers are now, I guess, no longer going to be able to. Governor Snyder's already signed it into law,
mm-hmm.
That lifetime health benefits for 99 people currently and anyone new won't happen anymore. So, I mean, the writing's on the wall with regards to all this. I'm just not so sure the unions get it. Do you? I mean, they're talking a lot about their members having to pay more of their health insurance premiums and copays going up, but that's just, I mean, everyone's having to chip in.
Well, the typical union in Michigan is more of an ideological thing than an economic thing. These are not people who really get how a private economy works. These are people with a big government ideology, and with that in mind, you know, they're quite comfortable with tax increases to fund their benefits, and they're not really concerned with what happens to the economy afterward. They don't really get what the price is.
Last question, gut feeling, will Michigan be a right-to-work state in the next 5 years, you think? Yes or no?
Oh, I don't know about 5 years. I think if you were to talk about 10 years, it becomes very likely. There's a possibility. It's really hard to project.
Paul Kersey, Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Thank you, sir. We appreciate your time, as always.
Thank you.